everybody. Welcome to episode 356 of the Comic Source Podcast, a Valiant Sunday episode. I'm your host, Jace, and Jesse is joining me as well. Thanks for joining, Jesse.
Anytime, big guy.
And this is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, but in anticipation of Denver Comic-Con, which is coming up on the 15th, 16th, and 17th, and I'm going to sit down, I believe, with one of Valiant's editors there. And I thought with their announcement this last week, it would be kind of a good time to sit down with one of them and talk more in depth about these titles. But I thought, well, before we do that, let's kind of go over what we do know, you know, and get Jesse's thoughts on it and my thoughts and then see what we hear from the Valiant side of things, right? Kind of compare, maybe answer some of the questions, and there may even be something that Jesse's wondering about that I haven't thought of. So I thought it'd be a good idea for him and I to get on and chat about these four new titles that were announced. I think they were announced on Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. So we'll go over the four individual titles and the creative teams, and then as I said, hopefully at Denver I'll be able to sit down and talk to one of the editors there and see if I can get more details, and we'll kind of go from there. So I'm going to go ahead and give the rundown, the creative team, and what info we know about the first one, and then I'll let Jesse talk about his thoughts on the series, and then I'll kind of chime in if I have anything to add at the end. So the first title we're going to mention, and this is, again, Valiant's announcement this last Thursday. All these events are basically coming after Harbinger Wars 2. That's kind of the initiative that's going on right now. And really the one that was kind of the last big hurrah, if you will, from the old guard, the executive team that kind of brought Valiant back. So this is, I know what a lot of Valiant fans have been looking toward. Like, okay, so, you know, we know Harbinger Wars 2 was already planned with, you know, the old team in place. We're very curious to see what the new team will bring, if anything. And, you know, there's been some apprehension and such. So I think for a lot of fans, this is kind of an opportunity for the new team to kind of prove themselves. And this has been really their first big announcement since they took over. So they've announced this Valiant Beyond initiative, and there's four series, and they're all limited series with the exception of one. So the first one I'll mention is Faith Dreamside. It's going to be written by Jody Hauser, who has some history with writing Faith. We've got art by MJ Kim, who I'm not familiar with. Covers by Marguerite Sauvage, and basically what's happening is it's a series about that harkens back to before Faith even got her powers and became Zephyr. She was always kind of in that world of comic books and fantasy and, you know, sci-fi and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, she always dreamed of having flight and being a hero. But what happens when a hero has to face the foes that only exist in nightmares, right? So to protect the dreams of her teammate Animalia, Faith has to venture into a new realm. Hyperbole here, of course. A new realm the likes of which Valiant Universe has never seen before. And she'll need the help of the world's premier parapsychologist, Dr. Mirage, to make it back with her subconscious mind intact. So Dr. Mirage is going to be in this as well. Jody Hauser, who critically acclaimed work on the Faith series the first time around, and it's a limited series beginning in September 2018. So those are kind of the basics. What are your thoughts on this first title, Jesse?
Well, I think that fans of Faith are going to be happy because, I mean, again, there's continuity with the writing. MJ Kim, she worked on the Faith Christmas, was it Winter Wonderland special or whatever?
Oh, right. I read that.
Right. And so that's cool because Faith does have a fan base. And with that, they're throwing in Dr. Mirage, who also has a fan base, and Animalia, which, to be honest with you, Animalia, I don't know that she's been portrayed correctly like ever in the Valiant universe. I think they've had an issue trying to figure out how to best use the character. So I'm happy to see her included here, and I'd like to see where she goes and how she is portrayed. Because she has potential to be a great character. She is a great character, but she has a lot more potential than I think we've seen so far.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Animalia, I don't know. She has a bit of an edge to her, as at least as she did when she was first introduced by Joshua Dysart. And I would say that she wasn't exactly written as a likable character. I've never discussed her with Josh. Maybe I'll do that next time I see him. But because it's interesting, based on her power, and I wouldn't be surprised knowing Josh if this is the reason he wrote her with that edge. You know, based on her power to be able to, you know, transform into to animals, and oftentimes when she transforms into those animals, she's like a cartoon version of those animals. There's such a risk there, I think, with that character of making her cutesy, saccharine, sweet kind of, you know, character where you don't really take her seriously. And so maybe that's why Josh kind of, as far as personality wise, swung her over to the other side. But yeah, I would agree with you that she's been written very inconsistently.
Yeah, you know, and you think about it, as a character, she has, I think she's gone from angsty to kind of like a survivalist to kind of like kind of moody to kind of like fearful, back to moody, back to angsty. It's kind of inconsistent. And you're dealing with a young character, a young woman, who, I'll be honest with you, if in terms of psychological development, if you put a person, a young person, in a situation where they're exposed to so many, you know, horrific events and so much, you know, death and destruction early on, It's gonna create a situation where they have a loss of innocence, and they're gonna act very differently than a normal human being would at that same age. However, we have you know, historical context to take this in with a lot of people that have survived a lot of atrocities throughout history, so we can kind of base the character off of that. In fact, as how she would act or how she wouldn't act. But the rest of that's neither here nor there. I'd like to see where this goes and see how they portray the character moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it might almost be a situation where they're going to put her in danger again, you know, for lack of a better way to put it. But based on the fact that it's Faith who, you know, she's had her challenges, but one thing that she's never wavered is kind of her optimism and her positivity as a character. So in that way, she's very much a role model. And then you add to that Dr. Mirage, another strong female character who I really feel has been consistently portrayed as someone who's almost wise beyond her years. Those are a couple pretty positive older female role models for Animalia to kind of look up to. So I think it's a good trio of characters to come together. And I'm very intrigued to see what this dream side is all about. Because obviously we've heard of the dead side in the Valiant universe, but we haven't really heard of the dream side. So that's going to be an interesting world to explore. All right, up next we have Bloodshot Rising Spirit. This is the one title that is going to be ongoing. The creative team as currently listed, it's going to be written by the frequent collaborating writing pair of Lonnie Nadler and Zach Thompson. We've got art by Ken Lashley, covers by Felipe Massafera. So new ongoing series about Bloodshot, and this is going to be really focused on his early days. You know, he was created by Project Rising Spirit, infusing nanites into him and basically their point-and-shoot weapon. And it was up to one enterprising employee, the Memory Weaver, to ensure Bloodshot did what he was told. But memory's a tricky thing, and you know, Bloodshot, as we saw, eventually overcame the programming, and a lot of that was due to kind of memory. So this is a really interesting one. You know, Bloodshot's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Valiant character, along with Ninjak. So when you do these prequel series, the challenge, of course, is that you can't really contradict anything that comes after because it's already happened. If you do, the fans are going to call you out on it. Valiant fans are pretty rabid, so I'm sure they'll do that as well. So it's going to be a unique challenge for Nadler and Thompson. What are your thoughts here, Jesse?
Interesting thing about Bloodshot, and this is out of all the four titles we're looking at, this is the one that has the biggest potential to be the measuring stick as to how things are going forward. Faith can be a bomb or it can be great. If it's great, people will love it. If it's a bomb, they'll say, whatever. But you can't screw a Bloodshot title up. Here's the thing. We've had, I think now 13, I guess 13, if you can count the like old Bloodshot yearbook back in the day, Bloodshot titles. It's been, there, and a lot of them have been very good. But you've had, you've had a bunch of one shots. You've had, Bloodshot USA, miniseries. You've had Bloodshot, Salvation and Reborn and Bloodshot itself as a title. And so there's a lot of history with the character. Now here we are, getting ready to go into a Bloodshot film by Sony Pictures, proposed in 2019 with Vin Diesel. And so leading into that, let's say you only have like 12 to 18 months between now and then, that's not a lot of time in terms of publishing. So, this is going to be one of the titles, if done correctly, that is going to steer the public, towards that film. It's going to be, what kind of introduces and is when people go to the comic shop to say, hey, I want to read what this thing is about. This is what's going to be on the shelves, at least for the next 12 months. I'm very interested in seeing how it works out. I'm very interested in seeing how it's played out. And as a Bloodshot fan, I'm going to be, watching it like a hawk. Ken Lashley, I did some research on him to check out his artwork, and I like it. It reminds me kind of in many ways of the artwork we saw in Image back in the 90s. It's got a very, very, 90s-esque comic style to it. He's worked on some big titles. I've seen him draw Superman. I've seen him draw Batman, Black Panther, the X-Men. So he's not a slouch. He's worked with some big titles, and so he's definitely capable of working on this book.
Yeah, that's actually, if I have any worry, beyond, they've got to tell a story that fits into the narrative because it is kind of a flashback. But I think they're capable writers. I've read a lot of Nadler and Thompson work, and I feel like they're completely capable of this. I'm actually surprised they haven't been tapped by Valiant before to do something. And they're really kind of on the rise and becoming rather prolific and working on a lot of different titles. Lashley does worry me more so than the writing pair, though. And not because he doesn't have the ability, but he's one of those artists where I've seen sometimes he has a tendency to get lazy. And the art's just inconsistent. I remember he was on the Blackhawk book when New 52 started, and you could see the first issue and a half were great, and then after that it seemed like, I don't know if he was rushed or something happened, but I've seen that before. I've heard that from other people where there's just one of those things where maybe he bites off more than he can chew, or he falls behind on deadlines. I'm just not sure. So what I worry about is that when you Google his work, you're getting the best of his work. But as we all have challenges, and even when you're not on your A game, you've got to find a way to deliver. So I hope that he's up to the task. I completely agree with what you said about this one being really the yardstick, because it's the one that's an ongoing. It's the most important character of the four titles that were announced. Really, one of the pillars of Valiant. And as you said, with the movie coming out, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Bloodshot, so it needs to be done right. But I have a feeling it's probably the title where we're going to know, like right off the bat from the first issue, maybe more so than the others, if it's going to work or not. I'm surprised that Bloodshot's had that many titles too. I didn't realize it was that many. But I would say, like, personally, I think overwhelmingly the majority of those titles have been really, really good. So we've been spoiled.
Well, let's think about it. He had Bloodshot back in 93, followed by the Bloodshot Yearbook. There was an acclaimed title. Then, of course, Bloodshot came out in 12. You had Armor Hunter's Bloodshot, which was just a one-shot, but it was good.
Yep.
Bloodshot Reborn, Book of Death, Fall of Bloodshot, Divinity 3, which is Commander Bloodshot. Then you had Bloodshot's Day Off, another one-shot. Bloodshot USA, Bloodshot Salvation, and now we're on Bloodshot Project Rising Spirit. So, yeah, this, you know, that's got to be a record in terms of Valiant.
Yeah, definitely. But I guess it also goes to show the kind of the popularity of the character, too, because they don't really take breaks from Bloodshot. He's kind of always in print. So, all right, let's move on to the next title. It's Livewire, to which I know a lot of fans are going to say about time. She's been a very popular Valiant character since she was kind of reintroduced in the new Valiant as kind of a reimagining. This one's going to be written by Vite Ayala with art by Raoul Allen and Patricia Martin. So that same Secret Weapons art team that we've seen before. Covers are by Carrie Randolph. So this one spins directly out of Harbinger Wars 2. And it's really hard to say. I mean, the kind of the teaser they give, the solicit they give, doesn't give any details because they really can't, right? She's such a central figure to Harbinger Wars 2. But what it does say is it's, you know, now that Livewire went down this path that caused, you know, the greatest catastrophe in the history of the United States. She's got to decide for herself what kind of hero she's going to be, or is she really a hero? You know, which is a lot of what Jesse and I talked about when we talked about the first couple issues of Harbinger Wars 2. So I imagine this is going to deal with a lot of the fallout of Harbinger Wars 2 as outside factors affect Livewire, and also probably her coming to terms with the consequences of Harbinger Wars 2 and realizing that ultimately she was the impetus for that whole event. Right, Jesse?
Absolutely. I mean, that was I recommend everybody go back and listen to last week because we go into pretty good detail on this.
What are your thoughts? What do you hope to see in I know it's hard because Harbinger Wars not over yet, but I know you're a fan of Livewire. What are you hoping to see now that she's got finally her own title? And I should mention this starts in December 2018, and it is a limited series.
Right. Now, let's not forget, once upon a time, Wolverine had a little thing called a limited series. So did the Punisher, you know, and then they went on to have a lot more. So a lot of people were kind of upset that maybe the Livewire, you know, her first outing as a solo title was going to be a limited series. There's precedent to this. There's history to this. You know, you have a new management team putting their dipping their toe in the pool. They want to see how this works out because Livewire is could be perceived as a risk. I know it's not a risk. I think that all Valiant fans and readers are pretty tied in with Livewire. She's earned her place on the list of, you know, top 10 Valiant superheroes right now. And I'm excited by this. I think you're going to be excited by this too. I mean, we look at the art team of Raoul Allen and Patricia Martin. So we know what we're about to get. We're going to get a well laid out story told sequentially, you know, with almost genius level artwork. Very, very akin to what we saw in Secret Weapons, Wrath of the Eternal Warrior, and the Harbinger Wars 2 Prelude. So I'm excited that these guys are still continuing to work for Valiant, and then moving forward, we're going to see them on projects like this. It means that the new management at least values their work and recognizes the quality that is there. I personally am amazed that Livewire has had a series before. I mean, you could argue and say most of Unity was a Livewire series. You could argue and say Secret Weapons was a Livewire series. Heck, even certain blocks of Imperium were a Livewire series. The character is front and center in the Valiant universe, and not even from a diversity standpoint with an African-American woman. Just as a character standpoint, she is a pillar of what is Valiant. And I'm very excited to see her move forward. I'm very excited to see this miniseries, and I think everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah, the only way I could be more excited for this one, and I sitting here thinking about it, I may be more excited for this one than Bloodshot, if only because it is the first time Livewire is getting her own title, you know, with her name on the cover, right? Because I agree with you, Jesse. Like, Secret Weapons is a Livewire series. Harbinger War 2 is really a Livewire series in a way. You know, while Bloodshot is, Bloodshot's one of my favorite characters, and I'm really excited for that one. I've had Bloodshot series before, and I have confidence that I will have more Bloodshot in the future. This needs to work in order for Livewire to get an ongoing. So maybe I should say that Bloodshot is the one that I'm most excited for, but this is the one I'm most anticipating and rooting for it to succeed. Because I do agree with you also that art team is absolutely incredible. But I would be lying if I said that I wasn't missing the third stooge in this situation, right? I really do wish Eric Heiser was writing it, because I think when you put him together with Raoul Allen and Patricia Martin, you get something really, really special that doesn't come along, you know, all the time in comics. Vita Ayala is a name I know. I know she's done some work with Supergirl before at DC. And I want to say that I read a couple of the issues of Supergirl, but I honestly can't remember. I read so many books. So it's going to be really curious to see if she can kind of capture some of the same magic that the team on Secret Weapons had. I'm definitely really looking forward to this, to see if this team can make it work. And if they can, capture some of the tone and the feel that Secret Weapons series had, then man, I'll just be over the moon for sure. So I'm really rooting for this one to succeed. All right, the next title and the last title that we're going to talk about is Incursion, number one. This one is slated to begin in February 2019, and it's listed as a limited event series. So this may be Valiant's event for 2019, although that's a little early. So it wouldn't surprise me if maybe it's a smaller event, you know, maybe a crossover into a few titles, and there's still a bigger event planned for later in 2019. But this book's going to be written by Andy Diggle with art by Doug Braithwaite. And it's basically, I mentioned the Deadside previously, which is kind of the realm in Valiant where souls of the dead linger. And there's kind of different kind of monsters and horror stuff. And Shadow Man himself was trapped there for a while. But apparently that dead side, the dead side of Earth and this earthly dimension, isn't the only dead side there is. Apparently there are other dead sides out there, including one that has links to an alien world. And it's about that dead side is about to collide with Earth. So our very reality is at stake, apparently. And who will stand against the tide of unearthly terror at our doorstep? So my biggest question about this title is, so are we going to be introduced to new heroes, or is this going to be something that the heroes we've come to know and love from Valiant are going to have to step up to the plate to halt this incursion, this invasion, if you will? Because the teaser image looks really cool, but it gives us no clue as to who may be tapped from the Valiant hero side to protect us in our hour of need as this incursion approaches. What are your thoughts on this one, Jesse?
I've got a couple of things here. I've been wrong every time they've come up with a title. When they came up with Imperium, I suspected it was going to be cool. I didn't realize it was going to be one of my favorite titles. When they came up with Divinity, you know, I had the opportunity to purchase the original cover art, and I was like, well, you better go on the outside of caution, err on the side of caution, and go for Bloodshot cover. And I bought the Bloodshot cover art instead. Man, I kicked myself for that. And so here we are now, a couple years later, with Incursion. And every single time Valiant has produced something along these lines, it has been good. And so I'm looking at the writer, I'm looking at the artist, and already I can close my eyes and envision a quality product. Andy's done very well with the new Shadow Man series. Doug has done, I haven't seen Doug do poor work yet. I like his work early on Unity. I loved his work on the Book of Death, Fall of Bloodshot, one shot. He did some good stuff on X-Men Manowar. He's got a very, very visually appealing art style. And so I know this is going to look good, and I suspect it'll read well. Now, I'm with you. I don't necessarily know what that all entails. Deadside indicates to me things like Shadow Man involvement, indicates Punk Mambo involvement, possibly and likely some form of Dr. Mirage involvement. But then again, they can always open it up and bring in Exo Manowar and Ninjak, of course. It's impossible to say at this point. I've always had a problem to a degree with Deadside because I don't fully understand it. I mean, it seems like it is a magical place that can be used for whatever they needed to be used for at any given time, whether it's a strange Ninjak arc or the Rapture miniseries. I'm not really quite sure that it's ever been fully explained in its full and how it operates and whatnot. But maybe I just don't know. I don't know. I've always had a thing on it. But maybe it's a good opportunity for Valiant to expand on that and explain it more and show the universe on the other side of the looking glass.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. The Deadside tends to be a bit of a MacGuffin at times, just a literary tool for writers to use as they see fit when they need to, you know, present a problem for a hero to overcome. That kind of bugs me sometimes too. I honestly try not to think about it too much because it's different writers handle it different ways. So what I'm wondering beyond being excited, because I agree with you, I think both Diggle and Braithwaite are underrated as creators. I think that more people would know Andy Diggle's name if he had gotten a run on Superman like he was supposed to at one point. And then like right when he was, you know, he pitched an idea and then he actually got in there to start working on the book and DC kind of changed it on him, right? They're like, yeah, we know you pitched this story, but we need you to like completely change it around because we're going in a different direction. And he had the integrity to walk away and say, no, that's not the story that I wanted to tell. Like, you know, if you just want somebody to come in and write what you're telling them to write, then, you know, anybody can do that. That's not what I'm about. So I have a complete respect for Andy for doing that. But I do feel like that's part of the reason he hasn't done a whole heck of a lot of work for the big two, but he's done a great work for Valiant on Shadow Man, and his work on Thief of Thieves, Skybound title from based on a concept from Robert Kirkman is one of my favorite comics ever. It's spectacular. So Andy's got the chops. And I can only imagine that he's got to be over the moon and excited to be able to do kind of an event. All right. So I hope you all enjoyed hearing Jesse and I talk about these four series that are coming up from Valiant. We did talk for a few more minutes about them, but unfortunately, for some reason, the audio got corrupted right at the end. So I had to cut it off. Basically, all you missed was Jesse and I speculating on perhaps the return of Divinity in the Incursion title. And that's purely based on the color scheme used in the promotional image that Valiant had commissioned for the announcement. No idea if that's actually going to be the case or not, but the colors did evoke a little bit of a Eternity vibe. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. So as always, thank you all for listening. Don't forget to go to lrmonline.com for all past episodes of the podcast. Twitter.com/thecomicsource is where we can be found on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three places are great spots to find out when we release new episodes as well as follow all our convention coverage. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.